Reading for 1 Samuel. Be reading from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting in verse 12. So this is when Saul had defeated an army and took spoils and being rebuked by Samuel. So 1 Samuel 15, starting verse 12. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded to go down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best for the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak. Samuel said, It is not true, though you were little in your own eyes. You were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on to the mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal.
Good morning. I want to thank Brother Gary for what actually turned out to be a lengthy reading. You say, oh, 9 verses, but that was a pretty long group of words in those verses. But I want to thank him for that, and I want to thank the visitors for being here this morning. We have several here in the audience with us, and we appreciate your attendance today. I'm going to say I'm continuing my series. I don't know if this is going to be the last one or not, but I've been doing a series in this early talk period of mistakes that people made and the lessons we can learn, mistakes people made in the Bible. And as Gary alluded to and what he read, this is dealing with the King Saul. And he made plenty of mistakes, but this one was maybe the largest and the one that eventually cost him his kingdom. But it's approximately 1050 BC, and Saul is king, and he is told through Samuel, the Lord commanded Saul to go attack and utterly destroy the Amalekites. And he said he wanted this to be done because of their wickedness and the resistance that they had provided, or that they had shown to his people. And 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3 says, Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Command is very, very clear here. The Lord gave specifics. There should have been no confusion over what was the Lord's intent here. And so the nation of Amalek had rebelled against God for too long, and it's now time for their judgment to be placed upon them. And so Saul does go into battle. He follows that part of the command, and he does defeat the Amalekites. But we need to jump down to verses 8 and 9 to see what happened. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatted calves and the lambs and all that was good, it would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction. Saul and the people, they kept what they liked, what they saw and that they thought was pleasing to them, they kept. But the things that were junk, the things that were worthless, that no one would want, the stuff that's left over after a garage sale, you know, that type of stuff, that's what they destroyed. That was easy for them to destroy. No one wanted those things. But the best of the animals, they kept. And the king, he kept, because that was a nice way for Saul to, you know, maybe send a message to other nations or so forth to keep the king alive. And so it was fine and dandy. The people were pleased. Saul was pleased, but there was one person that was not pleased, and that was the Lord. In verses 10 and 11, right before the passage that Gary read, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. I just think that is interesting there, that it says Samuel cried all night. This is his king. This is his nation that in which he lives. And he's just been told that the Lord regrets making Samuel that king. And he knows what Saul has done. And Samuel just didn't say, okay, I'll go deliver this message. This cut Samuel to the core. This was something that he personally was emotionally, well, he was invested in the situation, being the prophet of God, but he cried all night. And I just think that's a part of this story that when we read about it, we don't focus on too much. But Samuel did not enjoy lording this over Saul. The conversation that he's going to have here with Saul, we can tell that this was not something that Samuel was relishing in, like he'd been rubbing his hands together. I've been waiting to do this. He was very, very emotional about this. But the Lord says some very powerful words here. He says, I regret that I have made Saul king. It's a sad moment for us when we do not obey the commandments of God. But notice how God observed what Saul did here. He says, he turned his back from me. He did not follow me. He turned his back from following me here. And that's not how we probably look at ourselves when we do fall short, when we do have sin in our lives. We don't say, oh, the Lord still knows that I belong to him. But no, we don't see ourselves as turning our back to God. But when we sin, really, that is what we're doing here. And maybe we comfort ourselves by not having that thought, but when we do that, that is the reaction that the Lord has to that sin. And so, but here, in for Saul's perspective about the war, he was victorious. The Lord wouldn't have let me be victorious if I didn't do what he wanted to do. That's what Saul was thinking here. Everything didn't need to be destroyed. There was value there to be brought back. And so we can see here by how he talked to Samuel, that's his mindset here. He does not see himself as turning his back to following God, but that's how God saw it. And we need to be careful that we don't also find ourselves turning our backs to God. So now we come to the part of the account that Gary read for us this morning. And Saul sees Samuel and he tells him, I have obeyed the Lord. Maybe Saul is lying, but I think from the way he went on to talk, that's something we can say is not the case. That I believe that Saul thinks he has obeyed God. Part of me says he knows that he screwed up. And when Samuel comes to see him, oh, look, I've obeyed the Lord. That could be another side of it. He's trying to nip it in the bud before Samuel can come and show him that he was wrong. But whatever the case may be, we do know that Saul did disobey God. And it just allows us to see that when people sin, the excuse-making begins. Sin lies to us and causes us to think that we're obeying God when we may not be. Sin will blind us to the reality of the level of sin, you know, the level of disobedience that we have. It just is something that we as human beings try to minimize most things in our life that are negative. And when it comes to God, I think we all have that propensity to do that. Saul did what he thought was best, but as we go through this dialogue between Samuel and Saul, we realize that Saul knows the real story. He does not listen to Saul. He doesn't base his reactions solely on what Saul says, but that emotion that he had the night before, or when it, whatever the time frame here is, he has not forgotten that. God's command was to destroy everything. And now, I enjoy humor in my life and so forth, and there aren't many humorous parts of the Bible, but I've always thought of this part here very sarcastic. You can just see Saul saying, well, if you've obeyed, what is this I'm hearing, these animals? What am I hearing if this is the case? And so Saul goes about trying to explain, and I think it's very interesting how he frames his excuse-making. Saul says, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. And then he says, and the rest we have devoted to destruction. There's a lot to unpack there. Saul is casting blame. This is not his fault. These people have spared the best of the animals. I was out of that decision-making process. They're the ones that did this. Second, they spared these animals, but they had really good intentions. They were spared so that we could offer sacrifice to the Lord. And then finally, we have devoted the rest. Now Saul decides to include himself in the decision-making. He wasn't a party to the sparing of the animals, but he now includes himself in the only part of the process that followed the Lord's command. His only involvement was where obedience took place. Everyone else was responsible for it, the disobedience. And so Saul is just throwing every excuse that he has at Samuel. He's trying to justify why what was done is okay in his mind. And I think if we look at the next king that sits over Israel, David, when Nathan goes to him and confronts him about the sin that he had with Bathsheba, we don't have any account of David making excuses, trying to justify what he did. The first thing that we basically hear him say is that he says, oh, I'm sorry, he says that I have sinned against God. His immediate response was to try to rectify the situation. He realizes that he has done wrong. And so Saul here has done the total opposite. There's no admission of guilt. There's no conciliatory response. He is just trying to make excuses. And so in verses 17 through 19, Samuel responds to Saul's excuse-making. And he says, you were the king. You were directly commanded from the Lord to do these things. You were to devote everything to destruction. But you have not obeyed the Lord. Why have you not obeyed that? But Saul still does not seem to get it. Or he's just realizing he's just digging and digging and digging. And he just doesn't get what Samuel is saying to him. And so Samuel here tries one last time to get this through his head. In verses 22 and 23, the two verses after Gary's portion of the reading, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Samuel's point here is very simple, and it's very important that we today understand what exactly Samuel is saying about Saul. Obedience trumps everything else. Doesn't matter what intentions you might have for any part of your life as it relates to the sin in your life or just trying to be obedient. Obedience is the most important part. It's more important than any act of worship. These animals that were going to be offered, it was more important than them. Rebellion it's interesting. Rebellion is compared here to like witchcraft or fortune telling, the word that English Standard uses, divination. And it says presumption is just like idolatry. You're worshiping something else when you're not, if you're not obedient to the Lord, if you try to presume what it is the Lord wants. We're told here that that is something that is just like idolatry. You're not worshiping the Lord if you're not doing what he says. You're worshiping something else. And so this is the reason that we must be serious in our study of God's word. We have to understand what exactly it is that the Lord expects from us. And so if we don't follow the commands of the Lord, that he is not, and we choose to do things that he's not authorized us to do, well then we are doing the same thing as Saul. We presume to try to decide what it is that is pleasing to the Lord. But what we're doing is just rejecting the word of the Lord. And so because of his actions, Saul is told that he's going to lose the kingdom. It's going to be ripped from his hands. And so for the remainder of my time here, just wanted to just go back and think about what Saul did and how we can reflect upon that and we can learn from the mistakes that Saul made. The first one is pretty obvious. We shouldn't blame others for our sins. Any actions that we do are solely ours. You can't say, oh, well, I was out with a group of friends and they made me do this. Now, you may have made a bad choice in the friends you have decided to be engaged with and do things with, but they didn't make you do these things. You had a choice, and we couldn't act like, well, we couldn't help it. It was just something that was foisted upon us. No, we know down deep that that is not true. The choice is ours, just as the choice was Saul's to obey the Lord. He didn't have to listen to the people who wanted to save the best of the animals and to save the king. It was not other people's fault, it was his. And if we are wanting to change who we are to be more like Jesus, then we have to follow Jesus and the commands found from his word and not our friends that we're out with. The next thing is, we shouldn't presume to know what the Lord wants. I think we've all talked to people that said, well, I'm sure the Lord doesn't mind if we do it this way, or the Lord would want my mother to be happy, whatever the case may be. We try to fit the narrative to what we're comfortable with when it comes to the command of the Lord. But we have to read the scriptures to really find out what it is that God wants. There are people that will not be here this morning that we all know should be here or generally might be here, but they've decided to not come out this morning. That was a choice they made because they think, well, you don't need to be here for every service. Or we've all heard, well, I live a good moral life. I don't kill people. I don't cheat and swindle people. I don't think that I need to come and be a part of the service and so forth. But those are people that are ignoring what God's teaching has told us, and that we need to be here and that we need to be among each other. But people think they're pleasing God based upon either their own knowledge that they've substituted for the Lord's knowledge, or what makes their life easier to allow them to sleep at night. If they had to do things that they didn't want to do, or if they were doing things they don't want to do, they convince themselves that what they're doing is right. And so we can't think that God is pleased by the things that we think God is pleased by. Instead, we have to know what God really expects from us. Saul and the people thought offering sacrifices to God would be pleasing, but Samuel lets that be known that that is not obedience, and that is not what pleases the Lord. And then the last part here is that obeying some of God's commandments is not total obedience. You can't accept part of it and reject all of it and be thought that it's going to be acceptable to him. Saul thought that just because he had obeyed some of God's commands that Samuel would not have had any, would not have thought that Saul had not done right. But God did not give us commandments for us to then decide which ones we were going to follow and which ones we were going to ignore. It's up to us to make sure we understand that and we follow all of them. Partial obedience is no obedience at all. If those of you who have kids, and those of us who once were kids, if our parents told us to clean the room and take out the trash, and maybe we took out the trash but we didn't clean our room, our parents would not have been pleased. We are expected to do both things that they asked us to do. Same with the Lord. We have to understand that we can't pick and choose what we want. If we're not going to do all that he has commanded, then why even bother? It's all throughout Scripture we find examples of people who were not totally obedient to the Lord, and they suffered the consequences to do that. And so we need to focus on our attitudes towards how we obey the Lord's word. Brother Craig was down for the prayer, but I'm not seeing him at this time. Brother John, would you mind to just lead us in a word, and we'll be dismissed to our class.